What a day that'll be. I love that song. Oh, when we get to meet Jesus face to face. Sure thankful for my salvation this morning. He's been good to us. You got a Bible this morning. We're going to be in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I'm going to talk through chapter 11 and 12 and a couple other ones. Studying my Bible this week, there was a question that come up. And I'll read you the question, we'll pray, and we'll talk about it. We all know the story of David and Bathsheba and everything that went on, and how a lot of trouble come into David's life after that sin in his life. But there was a question that was asked of him in verse number 9 of chapter 12. Let me just read you the question. We won't read the whole verse, just going to kind of go through the question and we'll pray. Bible says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight?" A question that Nathan asked David, and we're going to go through that question today. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the goodness of the day. Lord, thank You for a place that we can come and worship together, Father, freely, Lord, with no persecution, Father. Help us to, Lord, lift our voices, lift our hands, just to praise this morning, God, for You're so worthy. Lord, would You help now in the preaching hour, God? We pray that, Lord, Your message would be preached. Use us as an empty vessel. If You've never used us before, speak through us. God, we're looking for help this morning. Draw us closer to You. Stir our hearts. Convict us of our sins, Lord, and help us to have repentance in our life every day. Lord, we sure do need You. Father, we love You, and we pray that You'd help us this morning. God, thank You for that march up Calvary's Hill and Jesus taking our place, Lord, paying our sin debt. Lord, if there be one here that's lost this morning, Lord, we pray, God, that You draw them in and save them before it be too late. We love You and thank You. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. We're going to talk this morning about David. But it got me to thinking as I was doing some studying about, and all this time together, but I was thinking about earthquakes, right? How earthquakes come about. And more earthquakes in our life are kind of like the same as those physical earthquakes that happen in our life. It all happens by something going on in the inside where fault lines rupture, pressure builds up, plates start shifting. And the next thing, destruction hits. It's just like that as you see out in California, and we see a lot of places there, different places throughout the country, where you hear about earthquakes that go on. But I want to talk this morning about a story of somebody that had a moral earthquake happen in their life. And this is the story of David and Bathsheba. Our Bible teaches us that in the 11th chapter, there was a time of war that went out. Where men went out, kings, generals, they went out to fight. The Bible tells us that was generally during springtime. It was after it dried up. The winter months was real rainy, and it wasn't a good time for war. So when the spring come, it was time for them to go out and do their business. But we'll see here where David, he had this going on in his life where he had idle time. And not only did he become idle, but he became irresponsible in his actions. And we're going to look at this tragic experience that David went through in his life. Chapter 11 talks about he went out on his rooftop and he was out there looking, and you know, he was doing nothing wrong by walking out on his rooftop. But once he started glancing around and looking, he seen a beautiful lady that was out bathing. And the Bible says she's beautiful. She's very well to look upon. And we know that when David let this sin, and it wasn't just a sin enter into his heart, but it took possession of it. It took hold of what he was doing. And it caused him, he went from looking to lusting in just a moment's notice. And we notice this can happen to any one of us because the Bible talks about, you know, we start thinking, well, was David in a valley right then? Was anything going on? No, if you read through your Bible, it says really he's at the pinnacle of his success, political success. He was undisputed king. He run enemies out of Israel. He was running them out. He was taking care of business. He was a great king. He was not only a political success, but he was also a spiritual success. The Bible says tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He wanted to serve God. He was about God's business. He wanted God in his life. He wanted to serve God. God was important to him. He was a success. But as we're going to look here this morning, there was a downward digression that David went through. And it was sin that happened in his life. And one thing we'll notice about throughout these chapters that we're going to talk about today, throughout this outline, throughout this study, throughout this message, sin has consequences in life. And David was about to find that out. Boy, if we could only see the consequences when we commit to sin of what's going to happen afterward. The devil will show us that. And we notice the same evil spirit that got David lusting after a woman also. Not only did he look, that evil spirit also told him to conceal it. And he started hiding, more sin coming into his life. So let's look this morning. Let's read just a few verses. There was a question that he asked. And we notice throughout chapter 11 where he looked on Bathsheba. They conceived, they had a child for him. And that child died. But it says, ending up chapter 11, verse 27, at the very end of that, before it goes into chapter 12, look what it says right here. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Remember that. Now, going into chapters 11 and chapter 12, we notice there's about a year or so that takes place in between this. And David, God sent a preacher his way. God sent him a preacher. And ain't it something how 11's about the sin and chapter 12's about repentance? And in that time, I told you, I believe the historicals put it around 10 months, so we'll say a year or so in between that. It could have been longer that he elapsed in between that time. That God had sent a preacher into David's life to show him, through a parable, had shown him that he had sent great sin in his life. Now, we all know that sin has a punishment, right? Sin has consequences. We just talked about that. And we better remember that our sins will find us out. Might be like David. It took a year or so for it to come out. And we ought to be so thankful today that you know what David got? He got sent a preacher to help him with what he needed. Now, a lot of times people get mad at the preachers, but the preachers just do what God wanted them to do. They just read God's Word, and God's Word convicts you, and then you get right with God. God's Word convicts me. There are times where I'm preaching to myself and nobody else in the room. There's times where God convicts me of what I've done. And you ain't always got to tell the preacher everything's going on. You ain't got to tell the church everything's going on. Sometimes God needs that man, and the Holy Ghost will get you and serve you. He'll call your number. And that's what happened to David here. I'm glad this morning that when it comes into my life that God will use His Word or His man to convict me of my sin. Because God had every right to rain down fire and brimstone on David. He had every right to raise up enemies to destroy the whole place where David was at. Matter of fact, Leviticus chapter number 20 said David and Bathsheba could both be stoned to death and have to build a law. But he didn't. This is also a story of David's sin. David repents, but also of God's mercy. God sent a preacher in his life to do a parable. Look what he said. Verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had seen many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. When he had brought and nourished up, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat his own meat, drank of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a dog. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and his herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. And he took the poor man's lamb, and dressed for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, a man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David was so far away from where he needed to be, he didn't even recognize that Nathan was using David's own life in this parable against him. He talks about the herds, the flocks. If you look at there, it talks about in the Bible, David had many wives, Uriah, that was. And he took of what he had and gave it back for himself. And he said, this man right here, David said, I can't believe this man would do this. He said David was mad about it. David was kindled. I believe David said, if you'll bring me that man, I'll kill him today. I'll get justice for this poor man. And look what Nathan said. In verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold. This is David talking. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did and because he had no pity. Now look at Nathan's response. Verse 7, and Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." He said, "Thou art the man." When sin hit David right in the face, "Thou art the man." Nathan said unto David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives and thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword, and of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them to thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. For thou givest it secretly, but I will do this before all of Israel and before the sun." David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Look at the story here. What he said, and I like it in verse 13. How David there, he didn't blame nobody else. He didn't say, "Well, this is that old preacher's fault. He really don't know what's going on. He's not been in my house. He don't know much about me. You know, he don't know everything that went on." He could have been like that, where Adam blamed me for the sin coming into his life. He said, "Lord, she gave me Adam, the woman that you gave me. Adam blamed God, not me, but blamed God." David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." David acknowledged his sins. He didn't care about his kingdom. He was convicted of his sins. God had sent David to convict him, to show him his guilt, to show him what he'd been going through, to show him what he'd been concealing and what he was hiding in his life. And he said it needs to be brought forth of everything that's going on. And David said, "God, I've sinned. Lord, I've sinned against thee. I've fallen short." And one thing we'll notice right here is we better recognize sin's course in life. And all human beings have all this in common. You know how people say, well, they're different opinions, different backgrounds, different families, come from different neighborhoods and all this. All human beings throughout time and throughout the world have one thing in common since it began. All have sinned. We've all got sinned. Everybody in Jesus Christ, everybody that walked on earth has sinned. All have sinned. Sin's course went a mighty way in David's life. As we notice a few things, let me tell you about this course that went through David's life. The downward digression that we was talking about, it went. The first thing that happened was he saw Bathsheba. Right? It wasn't sin that he saw her. We see things in life. We can't help but to look upon some things in life. And it wasn't, you know, and here's the thing right here. It's not a sin when thoughts pass through our minds. That's not a sin. The sin comes when they don't pass through, but we grab them and allow them to take hold in our mind, and take possession of our mind. That's where the sin comes. He saw Bathsheba. Not after he saw her, look at the next thing he does. He saw her, then he covered. He began to ask questions from chapter 11. Well, who's is she? Who is she? Tell me all about her. I want to know more about her. He was smitten by it. We talked about it a while ago. He had lust in his eyes. He was looking at lust in his eyes. Change. Next thing you know, the Bible teaches us that he coveted, and then he took her. He brought her back to his palace and committed adultery. And then after that, he tried to hide it. The Bible says that he tried to conceal it. To the extent of hoping nobody else would find out, of killing your own husband. But you know what David's found out going down this road? He was wrong. He was wrong. He did not recognize the sin that, of course, had come through. How this all started in his life. Probably thought, well, I made it right. I married her. And it could have been right. Somebody else's eyes. The Bible
says, the last part of the chapter 11, it says, what he did is praise God. And I'm afraid sometimes we start looking around and we try to find things to make sure they're right in people's eyes, and we're not looking to see the track God's eyes. And that's what matters. The thing he did is praise God. Might not nobody else know about it, but Joab, remember where the one he sent to give the letter, he was going to kill Uriah. And the Bible says he let Uriah take the letter that was going to kill him. So Uriah never read the letter. He trusted David. That was his, David was his king. He had no reason not to trust David. And it all started because David let things build up in his life when he could have cleansed himself. He could have asked for forgiveness. He could have confessed his sins. He did not. He kept putting one thing over another, over another, over another. He said, well, what I'll do is, he's not spreading now. We'll just get him when he comes on in. We'll get him to just go to his house. He's been gone a long time. And then his wife had a date night, had time together, and everything will be all right. Nobody will ever know. Only problem is, Uriah was a soldier. And he go home to his wife. He saved his men. Victory in the battle. Then David said, well, what I'll do is we'll just give him, we'll go a big party, we'll shindig, we'll give him a little alcohol in, and then we'll send him home. Problem was, had a party, had an alcohol, and he'd go home. He said, the door, the Bible says, and this is where he slept. So David said, what am I going to do now? He said, he's not going home with his wife. In a few months, when she starts showing, people's going to know what's going on. He said, we've got to do something. There's a battle coming up. I'll tell you what I'll do. We'll just put him on the front lines for sure.
That's
right. Won't nobody know it. Nobody knows. See, that's the thing about our sins. If we forget that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, by holding the good and the evil. Sin had a course in David's life, and it was not going the way that David thought it would go. And let me tell you something about sin in our life. It never goes the way we think it's going to go. It's always going to come out. Whatever we try to hide, it will come out one day. We better recognize sin's course through those verses. We better realize that sin's curse. David was so desperate for his sin not to be discovered, he hid with treachery, but this was the curse of his sin. Listen to this. Once we indulge, it has its own way of taking over. Started to dominate our minds and take control of our actions. We find ourselves always looking over our shoulder, hoping nobody will ever find out. And then you know how it goes. You have to tell one lie to cover another lie. Tell a lie to cover a lie. Tell a lie to cover a lie. That's how it goes. Only lies cover lies. And that's what David found out right there. There was a curse behind this. And there was more than just this. Let me tell you something. Yes, David and Bathsheba together. And let's just say this. I know we're talking about David today and sin he had in his life and how he would be what we're going to talk about. But let me tell you something. You heard those saying, it takes two to tango. Let's share it in sin. And you might say, well, this was David's fault. He went out on the rooftop and he was looking at a woman taking a bath. Well, I'll tell you like this. I don't think a woman had a business taking a bath in broad daylight. She should have been out there with somebody to see her. That's just the truth.
There you go.
Both of them shared in sin. Both of them lost a job. But more problems come than just losing a child. You read through chapters 13, 14, 15, and keep going on some. David had a lot of problems come into his life because of this sin. Now we know that Nathan told David, your sins have been forgiven. But there was consequences to his sin. The Lord told him, he said, the sword's coming to your house. There's going to be evil going on in your house. He said, all the things that you've done to Uriah right here, he said, I'll make my draw. Then your sins will be put out there on Front Street in your yard. And people's going to see what's going on. He was forgiven of sin. But there was a punishment to come with that. And we know that more trouble started in his life. There was rebellion. There was murder. There was adultery that went on in his house. David's son Absalom, right? Let him revolt. Trying to get time to come back and get David. Ammon forced himself on his own sister Tamar, and then asked him to kill him for it. All kind of problems happened in David's family and in his life because of the sin that David committed. Problems come. See, a lot of times, you know how we look at sin? We look at it, well, it's only affecting me, well, it's only bothering me. You'd be surprised by the sin in your life that can affect your whole family. And that's what the Bible covers right here. We think it's just us. saying, know that sin has consequences in life. And while there is forgiveness, there's still punishment. Why is there punishment, preacher? Because God wants us corrected as well. God loves us enough to chastise us and correct us to get us back where we need to be. God loves us today. People are so scared of chastising the Lord. And yes, it hurts. Yes, it stings. It ain't always fun when our sin's brought out. But God does that to wash us and cleanse us and get us back where we need to be. A lot of times we get confused. We think, well, as long as we go to church, we're good. Well, as long as we treat people right, we're good. As long as we get to the church, we're good. That's not right. God expects us to live holy lives. God expects us to strive to be perfect, complete. God has expectations for us. But let me tell you something about the greatest thing about God's expectations of us, what He wants us to be. God will meet all your expectations of Him. He'll always be there with you to help you, whatever you're going through, whatever you need. When the sin comes into your life, that's God's mercy. The Bible says, God forgave you. God forgive you. I told you the biggest of all says he's going to be stoned to death. And that sin is going to be dragged out there and killed for what they've done. But God's mercy. How many times do we think about God's mercy in our life? The things that He's forgiven us of. The things that every time that He's watched over us. The things that, you know what? I don't deserve any of His blessings, Brother Merle. I don't deserve any of His goodness. I don't. I'm a wretched sinner, is what the Bible teaches me. And I'm glad it teaches me that, because I don't ever want to lift myself up where I think I'm faking, or I'm good enough where I don't need prayer, I don't need church, I don't need nobody else. Hey, I need people in my life to pray for me. Every day is a battle. Every day is a battle. That's what David found out. He said it's got a course. Sin's got a curse. Things come in David's life after this, but let's keep going. We better review sin's consequences. Look in verse 11 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil out of thy house. Out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives from thine eyes and give thee unto thy neighbor. He shall lie the wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing for Israel and before the sun. David's life and his family, as we just talked about, was never the same after this sin. It was never the same. And you know what? If we could just go back and preview the consequences of sin, we would learn that, you know what? Momentary pleasure is not worth the pain that sin brings. It's never worth it. And that's all it was. It was momentary pleasure. And look at the sin, the destruction, the moral earthquake we talked about coming in David's life. Over decisions! Over a split second decision that David made, he let that fester in his life. Now, he could have went back off his rooftop, and he could have went down into a prayer closet, and he could have asked God, God, forgive me for looking on this woman right here. God, help me to be focused and not distracted. Help me, God, to be the husband I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the father I'm supposed to be. Help me to be the Holy Ghost filled man of God that I'm supposed to be. But instead of stopping, he let it keep going. And that's where the problems come in his life. But I'm glad today we can look and it tells, well, you know what? We better learn to regard sin's conviction, what David did. Look what it says right here in verse number 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. That sounds just like 1 John 1:9, don't it? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I like that right there. Regard sin's conviction. David realized that he had done evil in God's eyes. David's eyes become open and his heart become broken. I like where he said, I've sinned against the Lord. David took full responsibility for his wrongdoings and genuine remorse and repentance. David stands an example to each one of us about the grace of God and what it will do in our lives. David sinned. David repents. Psalms 32 talks about the joy of repentance that comes in his life. Let's look at a few verses in Psalms 51. Let me share it. Psalms 51. David wrote this psalm after this sin had come into his life. I'm just going to read you just a few verses. We're almost done. Psalms 51. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the inward part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones, which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. I like these next three verses. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew thy spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David said, I need that closeness back with God. David realized that his fellowship had been broken with God. He said, I need God. Create in me this clean heart. Wash me, cleanse me of my sins, forgive me my iniquities. And you know what? That's a good thing for David to say, because God is the one person that can cleanse him. He knows the right one. That's why David was afraid. He said, against thee and thee only. He's not saying that was the only place to sin was, but what David was saying was, chiefly his sins, our sins are against God before they're against anybody else. And David said, I want to acknowledge it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of concealing. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of having to lie to get around me. I'm tired of having to watch over my shoulder everywhere I go. God, I am sorry for my sins. He acknowledged them. He repented of his sins. He said, I need my joy restored and my salvation. I want to go back to the day that I remember when you saved me. Anybody here remember the day that God saved me and I threw you out? What God had done for your life, He took that old load of sin out of your life. He took that burden that you spared, and He said, I'll take what you got, I'm going to give you what I have. How much He loves. David knew that. And David loved God. Don't think that this happened because he was mad at God, or because something happened. He said, well, God don't love me anymore. This happened in life because David was at the height of his career, and the devil was all about any testimony. But let me tell you another thing too. If the devil's not tempting you, if the devil's not trying to get in your mind, to get in your heart, to grab your hands or anything like that, you better check yourself. Because he don't like it when you're about God's business. He don't like it when you're doing things for the Lord. The devil don't like it when folks are getting saved and lives are getting changed. The devil don't like it. Him and everything that he's got out of hell will hold on to you with everything they've got to keep you from getting help and salvation that you need. Serving God's not easy. Let me tell you what it is. It's a blessing. It's the greatest thing you can ever do is to fully give yourself to God. And that's what David had realized. Anybody done it once when he got saved, but you know what he realized? He said, I cannot hide this sin in my life anymore. He said, this conviction is so strong and so thick, I've got to do something about it. I believe you couldn't eat. Brother Chris, I believe you couldn't sleep. I believe you couldn't open no mail. I believe you could go out on the battlefields. You couldn't go to work. He couldn't do nothing. The conviction was so strong, I believe he was probably nauseated in his stomach. His nerves were tore up. But I don't even know if he had a nervous breakdown. I bet he was close, though. Until he got things right with God. And the Bible says, the Lord, what did he say in verse 13? The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thy shadow of doubt. The Lord's forgiven me. Just like the Lord does us, He forgives. But David had to regard that conviction coming to his life. And we see that in Psalms 51. We see that there's good news here and there's bad news here. The bad news is the sin we attempt to cover, God will uncover. Just ask David about that. Let me tell you the good news of that. The bad news was, when we cover it, God will uncover it. But you know what the good news is? Just reverse that. The sin we uncover to God, He'll cover it. Because our sin is remaining against Him. And you know what we see there? That sin does not generate. Sin will not generate repentance. Sin, you know what it does? It withers the wheel.
David was not sorry for himself. He was not sorry that he got caught. He was sorry for his sins. He was sorry for sin that he did in his life. And we see there, all you have to do is go home, read it. We don't have enough time here. Read through Psalms 32. Read all of Psalms 51. And see what God did for David in his life. What about us? How do we read sin? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and tell you sin that you got wrapped up in, involved in the last year, the last month, today, yesterday, whenever it was. But we better take heed to this experience that David had, this tragic experience that David had in his life. We better remember there's a course that works its way through there. There's a curse that comes from it. There's consequences that comes. But what are we going to do when the conviction comes in our life? Are we going to run from it? That's what happens, right? God knows you sin, how to run in the place, you do one or two things. You either run from God or you run to God. But you do one or the other. What do you do when it comes into your life? Well, preacher, if I come to pray about these things, people will know what I've got going on. It ain't nobody else's business what's going on. That's between you and God. Don't let the devil tell you that anyway. Well, they don't know. I better come out in front of everybody and tell them everything's going on. And that God forgive me to try to hide and God punish me. These earthquakes come in our life, they always send us for destruction. If we don't confess the sin in our life, and if we don't uncover the sin in our life, I can tell you we'd be just like David, an earthquake would come to us. And it might not just hit you, it might hit everything that you love in your life. Your spouse, your kids, your home, your job, your parents, your grandparents. There's a punishment for sin. Let me tell you something. The greatest price was paid when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says, whosoever will, they'll just come to that cross. They can have forgiveness in their life. I'm glad today that I'm whosoever, and you're whosoever. But what are you going to do with the sin that's in your life? As we stand together, Mr. Lord, you come place something on the piano. Is there some things you need to confess today? I'm not here throwing stones. I'm not here pointing fingers, because I'm going to tell you, every one of us has it in our life. You need to come pray about some things. Come pray about it. You need to do some business with God. That's between you and God. As for me and myself, I think I need to pray this morning. If you need to come pray, these altars are open. Just come tell the Lord what you got going on. Song that Mr. Lewis is playing. The name of it is Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. What's God leading you to do today? Will you follow Him? Will you obey Him? Maybe there's some things that you need to get right with God today. Maybe there's some things you need to get right in your home today. Maybe there's some things you need to get right in church today. Maybe there's some things coming up this week you need to get right at your job. What has God showed you today? Would you make things right with God? I tell you this much, if you'll make things right with God, He'll help you make things right with everything else. Is your fellowship where it needs to be with God? Are you walking in the light?
Or have you been walking this past week in the world and you see there's nothing but darkness all over? Would you come to Jesus and walk with Him for a little while?